Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today our text is found in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, which says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. The Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, who reigns in heaven. He's overseeing the affairs of all men. He actually was a creator. He actually holds all things together. Everything is working according to his will and according to his plan. And we can trust in those kinds of things. And when it talks about seeing his glory above the heavens, he's present everywhere, but he's seated at the right hand of God. And so we know that he's watching over the affairs of all men, of this whole world. He's watching over our affairs as well. And he's meeting our needs, and he's opening doors for us as we walk in faith, as we trust him, as we meditate upon his word, and as we seek his face. He reveals his will to us. He enables us. He opens doors for us. He watches over us. He protects us, and he continues to bless us each day. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful relationship we have with the God of the universe.
Just tell you why, because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old-time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Tim and Diana Bannister, and they're missionaries with Global Outreach, and they're going to be ministering in Tanzania. In fact, they're there now. And why don't you tell us about your ministry in Tanzania and how God has called you to do that ministry?
Well, we are working under an organization out of the U.S. called Siouxland Tanzania Educational Medical Ministries, but they have a large compound in rural Tanzania. They have a children's home. They have a scholarship program for poor but bright students. They have a medical ministry, and they also have a farm. And this is all done in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a Christian organization, and Global has allowed us to come under their umbrella. But Diane is the country director for Tanzania, and so she oversees all of those things. She's actually my boss.
She's actually the boss. That could be a bad thing.
It's awkward. And I am I'm in charge of the farm itself. I am a farmer, and we're trying to heal a very, very badly broken piece of property and to make it productive and useful to God and useful to Buguni, which is the community around us.
The methodology and the ministry is to make the farm productive so that it can help support the children that you're ministering to, correct?
That's correct. We hope eventually to make this farm pay for itself and also pay for the children's home operation. We only have 15 children at the moment, but we are hoping over the next few years to even double or possibly triple that. But the revenues need to come from the farm, so you can certainly be in prayer about that.
And you're saying the soil has been destroyed. I know a lot of African countries, they burn off the jungle, and when they do that, they sterilize the soil, and then they'll get one or two crops, and then the soil is done. You can't grow anything again.
The type of farming that I teach is called farming God's way, and it really is designed not just to be productive in terms of farm produce, but to heal the land, but also to do so using biblical precepts. A lot of the people that we work with are Muslim or are nominal Christians, and we are trying to show them that our holy book, particularly the Muslims, our holy book does order our lives through principles, through stories and that sort of thing, not so much rules, but principles and stories and narratives. The Muslims get that. And so I've been able to open the scriptures to Muslims and say, look, this is why the Bible gives us wisdom for day-to-day activities. And that's been a real pleasure for me, that people who normally would not listen to what we call the Word of God are willing to, because they see that it, already they have seen that the soil has begun to heal itself and to produce better. So that's been a real treat for me.
Well, I think you're probably a pretty good farmer, so that's really good. So, well, Diane, tell us about your ministry now. You're the big director here. Tell us about...
Yes, the Tanzanian country director, but I have to oversee the educational program, where we have close to 170 students in the scholarship program, and there is a staff member working with them that they go and visit, and it's not only scholarship, it's also leadership development. They have to do a mentorship program throughout the year, and that needs to be tracked. The medical ministry is developing. They're starting to actually do a long-term commitment with the Tanzanian government to bring orthopedic surgeons on a rotational basis to areas where a person, if they get in a motorcycle accident, which is a big issue in East Africa, motorcycles are just exploding and accidents are exploding, that they would probably have to travel on very bad roads for at least 8 to 10 hours with any kind of broken bone or anything to get any kind of orthopedic care. So we're developing a system of training and providing orthopedic surgeons on a rotational basis in some of these remote areas. And then with the children's home, that's expanding, and so I'm overseeing that and also working with social services to meet the government requirements, but also really considering the value of how the children need to be raised and comply with the government regulations.
Does the government interfere with Christian principles? Do you have any disputes along those lines?
The main thing that we're facing potentially down the road is that one of the mandates, even though it is a children's home, they want the children to be returned to their families as quickly as possible, but the reason they have been removed from the families have always been for very negative reasons. And so they're saying, no, no, but you got to figure out how to get them back in the families. And so that's a struggle. And if you have raised a child in a Christian atmosphere and you are sending them back to a Muslim family, and the child is very conflicted, so that is one of our challenges of how to do the compliance but yet equip the children and how to support them.
So thankful for your ministry. Praise the Lord for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you know, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without the support of our listeners. So we ask you to pray for us and to write in and let us know how the broadcast is being used in your life. This month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet entitled Psalms, and the subtitle is In God's Presence. And of course, the Psalms bring us to God's presence and talk about God's presence. But this booklet breaks down the 150 Psalms into the five books of Psalms, and then it goes to explain why each book sort of flows into the next one and what the purpose of each of those five books are. And then it also talks about some of our favorite Psalms, has them categorized, the Psalms that help us with comfort or deliverance or confession or forgiveness or for protection, for sadness and sorrow, for help in times of trouble, and for worry, anxiety, and anguish. And so this pamphlet is very helpful to our spiritual life. It gives great comfort, and of course the Psalms have always given all of us comfort over the years and has been a blessing to us in times when there's nowhere else to turn to. But this booklet does bring us into God's presence and helps us to understand the Psalms and bring us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. So I highly recommend this booklet. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there hills from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled God's Great Blessings for Believers. Printed copies are available upon request.
We're all aware that our world is filled with wars and famine, and many suffer from what is called the destructive forces of nature, like hurricanes or tornadoes and floods. In spite of difficult circumstances, however, we still need to look up and be grateful for the many mercies God has given. A man who always seemed to find something to be thankful for fell and broke his leg. Someone said, "Now that he's broken his leg, I wonder what he will find to be thankful for." Sure enough, when they met, the man said, "You know, I'm thankful I didn't break both legs." So we may face problems and difficulties, but we still can find reasons to be thankful. Our topic today is God's great blessings for believers. We as Christian believers have many reasons to give thanks to God, even though we may face problems. There are blessings that God has showered upon us that we need to recognize and to be humbly grateful for. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning in Christ Jesus concerning you." So, as believers, we are urged then to give thanks, not necessarily for everything, but in everything. The Apostle Paul reminded the Ephesian believers in chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So Paul says there are a vast number of blessings that we enjoy in Christ that should cause us to be grateful to God. let us look for a few moments at some of these great spiritual blessings of believers. First, believers are blessed with a great love. Ephesians 2 and 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Paul then is saying that the love God has showered upon us is a great love. I'm sure he would say, first of all, because it is the love of a great God. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised," said King David in Psalm 48. God Jehovah is a great God because he is the living God. He is the creator God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1 and 3. He is the eternal God. "I change not," Malachi 3 declares. This great, eternal, creator God has loved us with an everlasting love. The miracle of miracles is his love was extended to us while we were unsaved sinners. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," Romans 5 and 8. We were not nice, clean, holy people when God loved us, but sinners, lost and undone. God, high and holy, loving sinners, giving his only begotten Son to die for sinners. God chose us, called us by the gospel, and then cleansed us by the precious sacrifice of Calvary, all freely without price, and then placed us into his own holy family forever. All of this love and mercy of the great God prompted the Apostle John to say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." How can one understand such love? The hymn writer has described it beautifully when he says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song." We as believers have been blessed with God's great eternal love. Let us thank him today and rejoice in it. Then as believers, we've been blessed with a great salvation. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" The salvation that God has provided for us is a great salvation. First, because it's cost to God the Father. He had to send his only Son into a wicked world when he knew he'd be scorned and rejected and then suffer on a cross. And all the while he would show love, mercy, and grace to the wicked offenders. To Jesus, the cost was willingness to leave the Father and the joys of heaven and to come down to a sin-drenched earth. Here he would suffer the untold agonies of the cross, but by doing so, he would pay the price of man's sin in full and forever. He came, becoming, as John says, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2. The salvation of God is great because of what it does. It cleanses us from sin. But more, salvation changes us inside, giving us a new spiritual nature by the power of God's Spirit, a nature that loves God and is capable of living with God forever. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We receive this great salvation freely, simply by believing and asking Christ to save us. Some will say, "That's too good to be true." Well, it is good, and it is true. We can never thank God enough for calling us to believe and receive his Son. I hope if you've never trusted Christ, you will today. call upon him, for God's word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With a great salvation also comes the blessing of a great joy. In Acts 8:8, Philip goes down to the despised city of Samaria and preaches salvation through Christ. And it says the people with one accord gave heed unto those things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And there was great joy in that city. Great joy is the result of receiving God's great salvation. Every believer, sooner or later, experiences the deep, satisfying joy of sins forgiven. The Apostle Peter referred to the joy of salvation when he wrote to believers that had never seen Christ but had trusted him, saying, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Chapter 1, verse 8. Believers have the joy of the Lord as their strength, and this enables us to rejoice in the Lord despite trying circumstances that surround us. What a blessing from God his joy is. It enables us to persevere on our journey to our heavenly home. Another great blessing for believers is that of great peace. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they which love thy law. Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14. There was much to fear when Jesus was about to leave his disciples. Everything seemed so uncertain and strange, but Jesus promised them his peace, that deep sense of knowing that God was there and would take care of every detail. So God's word promises then to us a twofold peace. First, peace with God when we accept him as Savior, and then the peace of God when we trust him as our Lord and for our lives. Paul spoke of a peace that was beyond understanding when he said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. Let us believe God's word and learn to trust his wisdom and his love in troublesome times of this earthly life. The hymn writer has said, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Let us thank God today for his abiding presence and the peace that we can have in the midst of life's storms. Then the believer is blessed with the expectation of great glory ahead. There will be the long-promised return of Christ, an event promised by God to be glorious. Luke 21:27 says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This Jesus, who came to earth as the babe of Bethlehem, was destined to be the Savior, the one who would give his life a ransom for man's sin. He was rejected of men and a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And on the cross he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. With the sacrifice of his life for sins complete, Jesus rose from the dead. He returned to heaven. And one day he, perhaps soon, will come again, not as the humble Lamb of God, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will rule the world with a rod of iron. Scripture says when he comes, it will be with great glory and great power, and his saints will come with him. 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul says to the believers there, to the end that he, that is God, may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The thrilling thing here is that when Christ experiences great glory, so will his saints. When Christ comes to reclaim God's world from wicked men, we come with him. When Christ is glorified as the rightful king and ruler of God's world, we will be with him, sharing the glory as a queen shares the glory of the king's crowning. 2 Timothy 2 and 12 says, "For if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him." And Revelation 5 and 9 says, "For thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Great glory for Christ will also mean great glory for the believing church, who is his bride. What exciting, glorious times are ahead for believers. Then there's the glorious resurrection of believers who have died in the faith of Christ, or the sudden transformation of living believers at the rapture. Paul speaks of some of the great changes ahead when he says in 1 Corinthians 15, "So also is the resurrection. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Great events of great glory and power lie ahead for the believer in Christ. Will you be among those who will share in these and many other great blessings of believers? You can by coming today, now, and by faith ask God to be your Savior and Lord, and then give him thanks for saving you. You will then join those who will share in these great promises of blessing, a great love, a great salvation, a great joy, a great peace, and great expectation of glory lying ahead. Let us thank God today for all these blessings and all of God's blessings.
I know the sermon you just heard will make a tremendous impact in your life. We believe the Word of God brings us closer to God and does spiritual work in our hearts and minds. We do pray that listeners who listen to this broadcast regularly continue to grow in their faith. And we trust that those who have never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will understand that they are sinners and they need a Savior. The Scripture is really clear that all sin and come short of the glory of God. It also tells us that the wages are the payment for our sin. There's always a payment for wrongdoing. The payment for our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is the fact that God sent his best gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross. He bore our sins in his own body, your sins and my sins. He took our place, took our punishment, took our hell, and all he asks is for us to believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've claimed that verse personally. I believe it, and it's transformed my life, and I believe it will transform your life as well. This month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet and just entitled Psalms, talks about being in God's presence. You can order your copy by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R, or 7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also get this broadcast and past recordings of Canada's National Bible Hour on our website, which is www.missiongo.org. And please remember us in your prayers. And just remember that this is a listener-supported program, and during the summer months, it's very difficult to raise funds to continue these broadcasts on the air.